Okay, let's unpack this. Did you know that in the US, a car crime happens? Well, alarmingly often.
It's pretty staggering, yeah.
We're talking about like roughly 740,000 reported car break-ins.
And that's just reported.
Exactly. And another 720,000 car thefts every single year. It's a huge number.
It really is.
And listen, if you happen to live in certain cities, think Bakersfield or Modesto in California, Albuquerque, Odessa in Texas, Honolulu, even Denver.
A fire risk spots.
Your personal odds of having a break-in or theft while you live there, it jumps to about 1 in 4.
1 in 4. That really puts it in perspective.
Hasn't it?
And what's fascinating, or maybe worrying, is the scale. This isn't, isolated incidents. It's widespread.
Right.
The National Insurance Crime Bureau, the NICB, they tracked over 936,000 vehicle thefts in 2021.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was a 17% increase from just 2019. And unfortunately, the early trends for 2022 didn't look much better.
Okay, so clearly a big problem, which brings us to this deep dive. Our mission is pretty clear. How can you, the listener, better protect your vehicle?
What can actually be done?
Exactly. So we've dug through some interesting research, statistics, tests, and we've pulled out 10 proven anti-theft methods.
10 specific
Yep.
things.
Some are really simple, cost almost nothing. Others may be a bit more involved, but they're all designed to make your car less appealing to thieves.
Whether it's brand new or, a classic.
Right. And we know some older cars, like those 90s Civics and Accords, sadly, they are more vulnerable.
That's true. They're often targeted.
But even then, there's still hope. There are definitely steps you can take no matter what you drive.
And connecting this to the bigger picture, lots of things can influence these crime trends, but really, regardless of why it's happening.
You still need practical ways to protect yourself.
Exactly. Having preventative strategies is just crucial for every car owner. So
Right.
our goal isn't just to list stuff, it's to understand why these methods work and, how you can actually use them effectively.
Okay, perfect. Let's jump in. Method number one, park in the light.
Sounds almost too simple, right?
It really does. But check this out. There was an interview, KTVB did it, with 86 actual burglars.
Wow, 86.
Yeah. And a key thing that came out, they were really afraid of being exposed. Good lighting, major deterrent for them.
That makes total sense. Visibility equals risk for them.
Right. Most of these break-ins and thefts happen at night under cover of darkness. So just choosing a well-lit spot is your first, easiest step.
It aligns perfectly with basic crime prevention. More light means less anonymity, higher chance of being seen, someone intervening, or just reporting it.
Denies them that cover.
Precisely. They want to operate unseen.
And it doesn't have to be complicated or expensive. One source mentioned a like $24 solar-powered motion sensor LED light from Amazon.
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Imagine someone creeps up to your car and bam, suddenly they're lit up.
Yeah, they're likely moving on to the next darker car.
Much more likely to think twice, yeah.
Absolutely. The beauty is the simplicity, the low cost, but the potential impact is huge. It's foundational.
A good starting point. Okay, method number two, cover or disguise your valuables.
Again, seems like common sense.
So we all get lazy sometimes, right? Leave a bag on the seat. The research consistently showed visible items are a major draw for break-ins. They're looking for that quick score.
Laptops, phones, purses, shopping bags, anything they can grab fast.
Exactly.
And this ties into target selection. Thieves often cruise around looking into cars. What's the potential reward versus the risk?
And if they see a laptop bag.
That reward factor just shot way up, especially if you park in the same general area often. They might notice patterns.
Good point. So the advice is pretty straightforward. If you have to leave stuff, put it in the trunk.
Out of sight.
Or even, that spare tire well, under the floor, good spot, use a blanket, a coat, whatever, to cover anything left in the cabin.
Bags, purses, briefcases, those are like red flags.
Definitely. And tinted windows help a bit, sure.
But that windshield,
Yeah, the windshield is still a big open window, basically.
it's all about minimizing those visual cues. Make your car look empty, uninteresting. Even just throwing a grungy old blanket over something might make them skip yours.
Make it seem less promising than the car next door.
Okay. Aim for uncertainty.
All right, let's shift gears. Method three, sensitive or unusual alarms, making some noise.
We all know the standard car alarm sound, right? Beep, beep, beep.
And honestly, most people just ignore it now. car alarm fatigue.
Exactly. So the idea here is to have an alarm that's different, something that actually grabs attention, maybe even scares the thief off.
Or at least makes neighbors look out the window.
Right. The standard alarm's like a last resort, but its effectiveness is debatable sometimes because people tune it out. An unusual or scary sound aims to break through that indifference.
Some of the suggestions were pretty wild,
like
replacing your regular horn with a super loud siren over 100 decibels, or even a train horn.
A train horn.
What?
On a car.
Can you imagine? And then there was this example from Donut Media. They mentioned a pre-recorded alarm.
Pre-recorded? What, like a message?
Yeah, like it announces the theft is happening.
Yeah.
Apparently, you can get these online for like $14.
Huh, interesting.
And you could potentially customize them. Fake bomb countdown, fair police dispatch. Talk about creative deterrence.
It's about the psychological impact, isn't it? An unexpected sound, a voice, it disrupts their focus, makes them panic.
Yeah, suddenly it's not going as planned.
Right, and while making your factory alarm more sensitive might help, if your car even has that setting.
Which older cars often don't.
True. These aftermarket horns or message systems offer something much more dramatic, more likely to work.
Okay, this next one is quite clever. Method 4, the mysterious box.
Mysterious box. Tell me more.
Okay, so apparently some dealerships use these little lock boxes, often on the driver's window, to hold keys.
Oh, I think I've seen those, like on rental cars sometimes.
Maybe, yeah. And these often have a little blinking light. Solar or battery powered.
Okay, what's the point?
The blinking light suggests there might be a GPS tracker inside. And these boxes are apparently pretty tough to get off without breaking the window.
Ah, so it's about creating uncertainty, the perception of risk.
Exactly. The thief sees the box, sees the light, thinks, is this thing tracked, monitored?
And maybe decides it's not worth the hassle or the risk of getting caught later.
Right. Plus, dealing with the box itself takes time and might attract attention.
So the suggestion is, put one on your own car.
Yeah. Get a similar official-looking lockbox, put it on your driver's side window, even if you don't keep keys in it, even if there's no GPS.
It creates that same doubt, that hesitation.
Precisely. Most thieves won't want to mess with something that looks like it could be tracked. It plays on that known practice.
It's visual misdirection. It's smart. And hey, if they do break it open and find nothing, extra frustration for them.
Bonus. Okay, method 5. Back to a classic. The steering wheel lock, the club, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yes. The big yellow bar.
Now we know, the research confirms, these aren't foolproof. Determine thieves with the right tools.
And enough time.
Can defeat them, yes. But the key thing is, they still make the job harder. And importantly, they are a visual deterrent.
Absolutely. It's an immediate, obvious obstacle. It screams, this car will take extra effort.
And that effort involves assessing the lock, having the right tools, maybe a drill, strong bit, lock picks.
And needing time, like maybe 2 to 6 minutes where they won't be seen. That's a big risk for them.
So just seeing that lock might be enough for a thief who's just quickly scanning cars on a street?
You'll likely just move on. Look for the easier target without the big bar on the wheel. Path of least resistance.
Makes sense. The sources suggested, you know, a basic $29 one from Amazon might be fine for general use.
But maybe step it up if you're in a higher risk area.
Yeah, they mentioned a more secure one, a Stoplock Pro Elite, for around 73 thralls if you really want peace of mind.
So scale the defense to the perceived threat. Good advice.
Okay, method number 6, nighttime blinking lights.
Blinking lights? Like inside the car?
Yeah. The idea is, you know those little red or blue blinking LEDs?
Mm.
They often make you think there's a dash cam running or some kind of security system armed.
Ah, again with the uncertainty principle.
Exactly. A thief sees that blinking light. They don't know what it is. Is it recording? Is it just a dummy light? Is it tied to an alarm?
They'd probably rather just avoid the car altogether than find out.
Right. Why risk it?
And are these expensive?
Nope. Super cheap. Like $12 for a set of solar-powered blue and red blinking LEDs online.
Solar-powered, nice. No wiring needed.
Yeah. The advice was maybe put one in the front, one in the back. Visible from different angles.
But maybe not just blue, to avoid looking like you're impersonating law enforcement.
Good point, yeah. Maybe just red or alternating. The sources also touched on actual always-on dash cams, like battery-powered ones.
Like the Venture N2, around $170 motion sensing.
Right, which gives you actual recording plus the blinking light sometimes. A double whammy.
Combining the visual deterrent with actual evidence gathering? That's a solid strategy.
Definitely. Okay, method 7 is interesting. Making your car look cheaper or less desirable.
How do you do that? besides just driving an old banger.
Well, partly that. Losing a sleeper car something that doesn't look flashy helps. Or temporarily making your nicer car seem less desirable, especially in high theft areas.
Okay.
Fun fact. Research suggests red, yellow, green cars, often sports cars, get targeted more.
Really? More eye-catching, maybe.
Probably. Silver and white cars apparently have lower theft rates statistically.
Huh. Good to know. So avoid the bright colors if you're worried?
Maybe. But here's the more extreme idea one source had.
Oh.
Temporarily removing your front bumper cover.
Wait, what? Take the bumper off?
The plastic cover, yeah. The idea is the structural bumper is still underneath, so it's not like the car's falling apart.
But it looks.
It looks damaged, maybe undrivable. It obscures the brand, makes it look way less valuable.
Well, that is a commitment.
Yeah.
But I get the logic. It screams, trouble, move along.
Right. Definitely unconventional. Other less extreme ideas. Debadging the back of your car, taking off the make and model emblems.
Makes it less identifiable, harder for thieves looking for specific models to sell or strip.
And simple stuff like wheel locking bolts, maybe $21, and secure license plate bolts for $13. Little things that add hassle.
Every little bit helps slow them down or deter them.
Okay, number 8, the simple warning sticker.
Like protected by Viper or something.
Exactly, or ones that say GPS tracking installed. The point is, even if it's not true.
The thief doesn't know that for sure.
Right, it puts that doubt in their mind. Is this car tracked? If I steal it, will the police show up in 10 minutes?
And that doubt might be enough to make them pick an easier target. Again, it's playing on their risk assessment.
And these stickers are dirt cheap, like $2.79 for a set on Amazon, apparently. Bold, opaque ones.
Easy investment.
Suggestions were maybe use the bold ones when you're parked somewhere risky, maybe more discreet ones day to day.
Fake security company stickers were mentioned, too.
Yeah, the idea being a thief might know how to bypass ADT or whatever, but Bob's security, who knows what that involves?
Oh. Adds to the mystery.
And there were funny ones, too. Like a sticker saying millennial anti-theft device next to a picture of a stick shift.
Hey, true for some thieves, maybe.
Or just car doesn't work. Might be believable, depending on the car.
Especially for certain famously unreliable makes, perhaps.
But
yeah, even humor can create hesitation, disrupt their plan.
Okay, method 9. This one's a big one, especially for older cars that are easier to hotwire. The kill switch.
Ah, the kill switch. Highly effective.
Sources called it highly effective, often undetectable. Even someone who knows the car might not find it.
Because it physically interrupts the power needed to start the car.
Exactly. It cuts power to the ignition or the starter. Doesn't matter if they bypass the key, jam a screwdriver in, the car just won't start.
It's a hard stop.
Yeah.
A mechanical block they likely can't bypass quickly.
And get this, the actual switch, like a simple button or toggle. Costs maybe $5 at a hardware store?
Seriously, that cheap?
Yeah, the crucial part isn't the switch, it's the placement.
Right. Gotta hide it well.
Totally hidden. Not where passengers can see it, not where someone looking in can spot it, but still easy for you to reach discreetly.
Like under the dash, maybe where your left hand naturally rests when you turn the key.
Exactly like that. One suggestion was a black metal momentary button.
Momentary, meaning you have to hold it down.
Yeah. So you'd have to hold that hidden button while turning the key for the car to start, an extra step, even if they find the switch.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
Adds another layer of obscurity.
Yeah.
Very effective.
Definitely a strong contender, especially for classics or simpler vehicles. Okay, finally, method 10, GPS trackers.
The modern solution, track it after it's gone.
Right. And these things have gotten tiny, with long battery life now.
Technology's improved a lot.
But big caveat here. Don't just get one that plugs into the OBD2 port.
Oh, yeah. The diagnostic port under the dash.
That's the one. Thieves know about those. It's often the first thing they check and unplug. Too easy.
Same for obvious spots like sticking it in a wheel well or magnetically to the bumper, probably.
Yeah. Likely to get found or just fall off. You need a better hiding spot.
Okay, so where?
Think under plastic interior panels. Maybe tucked deep under the carpet. Somewhere secure, but where the signal can still get out.
Right. Too much metal shielding could block the GPS signal. Need to test it.
Good point. Test it. One source recommended a specific brand, SpyTech, as an example. Like $30 for the tracker.
And the subscription. That's usually the catch.
Well, this one had like a 2-week rechargeable battery waterproof magnetic case. But the key thing was you could activate the monthly subscription only if the car actually got stolen.
So you're not paying for it unless you need it. That's much better.
Right. Makes it more affordable. They also mentioned keychain Bluetooth trackers, like Tiles.
But those are different, right? Need to be near someone's phone.
Exactly. Good for finding lost keys or maybe a backpack left on a bus, but not ideal for tracking a stolen car across town. Relies on the Bluetooth network.
So GPS is the way to go for vehicle recovery. Small, hidden, long battery life, activate when needed subscription. That sounds like the best bet for tracking.
Seems like it. Okay, so let's just wrap this up. We started with those pretty sobering stats.
Nearly a million thefts in a year. Big jumps recently.
Yeah, 936,000 in 2021, up 17% from 2019. And the trends weren't looking great after that either.
And it's not just the whole car anymore.
No. Catalytic converter theft through the roof, like a 12,015% increase since 2019.
Crazy, because of the precious metals inside them, right? Platinum, palladium.
Exactly. Worth a lot of money. It just shows vehicle crime in general is a really significant issue.
These numbers really hammer home why taking security seriously is so important. It's not hypothetical for a lot of people.
But as we've just gone through, there are things you can do. Lots of things.
A whole toolkit of options.
From free stuff like Parking Smart to cheap stuff like stickers and blinking lights, up to kill switches and GPS.
And combining them is key. Layering the security.
Right. Make it harder to choose your car, harder to break in, harder to start, and trackable if they succeed.
That multi-layered approach really is the strongest defense. It tackles the problem from different angles. Deterrence, difficulty, recovery.
So here's the final thought for you listening. Think about your car, your neighborhood, how you use it.
Your specific situation.
Which of these 10 methods we talked about makes the most sense for you? Which ones are practical?
Maybe even do a quick search online. See what the specific car crime trends look like in your town or city.
Yeah. Empower yourself with that local knowledge. Then you can make some really informed choices to protect your vehicle. Stay safe out there.